This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of the ESV Scripture Journals. Pairing individual books of the Bible with blank pages, you can journal as you read, listening to a sermon, or study the Bible. Now through March 31st, 2021, Risen Motherhood listeners can pick up the black or illuminated ESV Scripture Journals individually or as an Old Testament or New Testament set for 40% off with a free Crossway Plus membership. Just head over to crossway.org/risenmotherhood for more info. We're so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey friends, Emily here. Real quick before we jump into the show, if you have been enjoying this mini-series and benefiting from the Ministry of Risen Motherhood, we would love to let you know that we actually have a book called Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments. Laura and I co-wrote this book and it released in 2019. And it's really an overview of all of the things we talk about. It goes through the four parts of the gospel: creation, fall, redemption, consummation. And then we touch on 16 different topics that are really common to motherhood and talk about how you might apply the gospel to those things. Things like marriage and our heart attitudes and our food choices, our traditions, our school choices. The list kind of goes on and on. But we hope that at the end of that book, you would get a feel for how to do this in your own life, because we really think that this is accessible and possible for every mom as she is in Christ and is seeking to follow Him. We think that this is something you can do. And so we hope that you would check that out. You can find it anywhere books are sold. Of course, there's all different versions. You can get a hard copy that we really think is beautiful. We really worked hard to make it a giftable, lovely book that you'd want to have around. And there's also an e-version, and there's an audiobook. So whatever format would work best for you. We also want to let you know we have a Spanish version. So if Spanish is your first language, that may be a great option. Okay, well, we hope that's helpful. Don't forget, too, that we've got a lot of resources to go along with our Fear miniseries at risenmotherhood.com/fear. There you can find free downloads like a devotional, a tool to use with your kids. You can get a link to our Spotify playlist and all kinds of books and resources, articles, things that would be helpful to you. Okay, well, we're excited that you've been joining us this far, and let's jump into the last episode in the Fear miniseries.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hey.
And today, we are getting practical.
Yes, we hope you've joined us so far in our Fear series. Go back and listen to any episodes that you've missed, but we are just getting down into the things you can actually do today to help trust the Lord in the midst of your fears.
Yeah. Before we get into this list too deeply, I feel like we definitely need a disclaimer. We've talked about this a little bit before on the show in the past, but just keep in mind that it may be that your fears are becoming more than what is typical. And so you might need to involve a biblical counselor, a pastor. Always bringing in mentors or friends is always really wise, even maybe a doctor. So keep those things in mind. And then as we talk about these things, please note that we are not encompassing like the whole body.
Yeah, like we're not necessarily getting into physical things, because
yes,
we know like fear can bring out very physical responses,
yeah,
whether it's the adrenaline rush, the heart beating, sweating,
yep,
stomach issues, like all kinds of things. We also know that there are things we can do, like go take a brisk walk outside,
or take a feelings bath. Go take a bath.
Yes, like there are physical things we can do to help with our fears, but that's not what this list is focusing on today. We just wanted you to know we know.
Yes.
And
those are really important,
yes,
facets of dealing with your fear. So they are not too overlooked, but we are kind of going on more of like mental and emotional, would you say, Emily?
And spiritual, yeah.
And spiritual, of course. Okay, yes. But keep all of that in mind as we go. And of course, we have to start with your time in the Word and prayer.
Yeah, 2 Timothy talks about the fact that all scripture is breathed out by God and it is profitable.
It is profitable. I don't know what profitable is.
All right, I like it.
And it's so that we can be competent and equipped for every good work. And then I love Psalm 34 talks about seeking the Lord and he delivers from fear. And I think when we think about fear, the number one answer given in scripture is to seek the Lord or pray or be in it's like it's some form of that in response. So it's kind of a main avenue that we should take. So one of the really specific things that we can do is write down verses. Have you ever done this, Laura? Like on a post-it note and then hang it around your house
or
put it in your car. I feel like that's a super practical way we can like remember God's word throughout our day.
And also, you guys probably heard our last episode, which was just a bunch of Bible verses all about fear. So you can play that if you are feeling afraid. I have appreciated things like that whenever I feel a very, very strong emotion to just let the Bible kind of wash over me and speak truth into my life. As Emily read about, it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training righteousness, all that kind of stuff. And that stuff comes into play when you're just listening to it. So
you can also do like a specific Bible study on the topic that you're fearing.
Yes.
And really look throughout scripture. Potentially it's a word study or it's just like a theme and kind of have different verses that you go through and look at how God meets people in the midst of that or what God thinks about those different things. And that can really provide some comfort and some information.
So things like, would you say like miscarriage, death, sovereignty, like kind of different words like that, that perhaps you're experiencing, you could do a word study or you could even do the word study on fear, the word fear.
Absolutely.
Okay. So memorizing verses, that is always huge. I've really appreciated some of Hunter Beelis's tips over at Journey Woman for how to memorize scripture and how to plant God's truth in your heart. And I think it's so good to involve your kids in this. You know, as moms, that makes it significantly easier whenever you've got your kiddos motivated to do so as well. And for me, I was just reading this morning in Psalm 73, and this is something that I was just reminded, oh, this is so helpful for times when I'm afraid. So I'm going to read a little bit to you here. It says, I am always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me up in glory. Who do I have in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. But as for me, God's presence is my good. And I've made the Lord God my refuge so I can tell about all you do.
Mm. So good.
Right. And so like when you're kind of afraid to like recite that, how helpful would that be?
Absolutely. And I think what's interesting here is we're putting the word of God and prayer so much together because they rely on each other so much to have that back and forth, like listening to the Lord and his word and also crying out to him and telling him what we need. And I know that there's a verse in 1 Peter that's, you know, we said in our last episode about anything that we're worried or anxious about, like we need to bring all of those things to the Lord in prayer, even though he already knows what we need, he already knows what we're worried about. But there are ways we can attach that prayer to certain circumstances in our day, like everyday activities. I know Debbie Martin, so we have a show from her. She's a mentor of mine, and I love going over to her house because she has pictures and a little kind of flip book above her sink, and she prays every time she does dishes for different families and maybe the fears and concerns that are on the hearts of those moms and those families. You can also, you know, put popsicle sticks and keep them at the dinner table to pray for certain things. So there's a lot of habits we can build into our day, or even just intentionally asking your friends at church or maybe the whole church to pray about something that you're worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know so often I'll be sitting there and just spinning, you know, working through my worries, and I'm like, wait, I haven't even prayed about this. You know, I haven't even brought this to God. And so I feel like I want to continue to train my mind for that to be like the first answer is when I get afraid, when I get worried, to just say, Lord, help me, or Lord, be with me, or Lord, help me to not be afraid. I mean, any of those things. And he does bring comfort in those, in the midst of that. So
yeah, I'll share this story really quick. So our son, who just turned 5 recently, I was really convicted a little over a year ago that, similar to what you were saying, Laura, I was spinning a lot of these worries and concerns about his developmental delays, and just we weren't seeing a lot of progress with him in different areas, and just feeling like, Lord, I haven't even really asked many other people in the body to come alongside us in this and kind of share this burden with us. And so I remember the day I stood up in our members meeting and just shared and asked people to pray faithfully. We put it in our church prayer guide. And it has just been so encouraging to me to know that I have the whole body of believers behind us in this and beside us in this, and also covering him in prayer in this area. And so it's also been fun because as we've seen him make different gains, no matter how small, that there are now people rejoicing yeah. with us too in the progress that he's making. And so I just want to encourage anybody who is dealing with fears, even around your kids, and you're like, hey, I'm struggling in my parenting, or I'm afraid of this medical diagnosis, or I'm not seeing this or that thing happen in my marriage, that bringing other people in to pray with you, you know, it seems very, very scary yeah. in and of itself, but it is an incredible way to have support and have the comfort of others praying with you.
Well, there's just something about bringing our darkest secrets, mm-hmm. you know, the darkest fears that we have into the light, where there really is relief. And Satan wants to tell you that, like, there's going to be no good that's going to come of it, and all they're going to do is judge you. But I cannot recount one time when I have shared a deep, dark secret that I thought that I had and I was carrying alone and that I carried for too long. I can't remember one time where I felt like, man, that was the worst idea ever. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I've been just really grateful. And part of it is choosing the right people
right.
to share that with, like Emily sharing that with her local church and trusted body of believers. Or I know I've shared with you, Emily, mm-hmm. a lot of scary things, you know, the fears. And often I think when we share with other moms, we realize, oh, I feel that way too. Or I've had those thoughts. And I remember so many times when you and I have chatted, mm-hmm. and we've been like, have you ever been afraid of this? And it's like, oh my goodness, yes, you know? And there's just comfort in knowing that you're not the only one, you're not alone. And mm-hmm. we all know that logically, but when it's just nice when it's realized, mm-hmm. you know? So
yeah, so good. I feel like we kind of had a sub point, which is like tell someone about
tell
your
someone.
Fears. But maybe that's your one action item from yeah. today's show, is that you're going to have a friend or multiple people pray with you yeah. about whatever your fear is.
Okay. Another idea, and we've talked way in depth on this in the last episode, which is to read missionary stories of great faith, of God's providence and provision. So there's going to be a huge list in our show notes. We're not going to probably dive back into this, but a few episodes ago, the episode that's on the church, if you've not tuned in, we talk a little bit about this, and we will certainly provide more links on lots of things that you can get more info on this. But I have been so encouraged and helped by seeing other Christians face their deepest fears and mm-hmm. or reading about it, I guess, and just their steadfastness in faith and the way that God provided for them. Just really neat.
Yes, so good. Another thing we can do is incorporate music, you know, listen to really rich hymns. We know from Colossians 3:16, talking about how we should encourage each other by singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And it's just, yeah, Christians should be thinking about their theology and praising God through song. And that can really help us in our fears. And I think it's amazing sometimes, like, the emotional and physical change that can come, you know, as I'm listening to rich theology and comfort in a hymn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that there's this great devotional that my family's been doing. It's called Family Time Hymns Devotional. And it's been so fun to teach it to my kids, teaching these hymns. It has all of the verses of the hymns and it has the music, so you can kind of do it on your own. But it's been so great to even hear my children sing, you know, while they're playing Magnetiles, singing these verses, and just a comfort to me, like Emily's saying. And a lot of those hymns have such great theology embedded in them that when you kind of stop to even think about the lyrics, which sometimes, you know, you can sing and not really think about what you're singing. But when you really listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh my goodness, this is such good truth. And this is what I need to remember right mm-hmm. now in the midst of this.
Yeah, along a similar vein, I think, you know, poetry or just like quotes that help embody a truth from scripture can be helpful to us. I love kind of old-fashioned poems that
yes,
seem so much
definitely.
Richer.
Why can we not write those anymore today? I legit feel like we can't do it anymore in 2020.
It's got to be around.
Somebody's got to be doing it. But tell us, write us in. If you know of somebody who's writing the way like Annie Flint did, or Elizabeth Elliot, or Betty Scott Stamm, all those women, you send us their poems. We want to hear them.
Yeah. So it's just another kind of outward looking way that you can process your fears and think through them in light of scripture. Another thing that we can do is just be silent sometimes, which is an opportunity for meditation on scripture or preaching the gospel to our heart.
Yeah. I think as a mom, there's just noise all the time. And so for me, I know sometimes the best thing for me to do is to turn off the music. It's to turn off the audio Bible. It's to turn off, you know, the any music that I'm listening to, and instead say, kiddos, can you go downstairs for a little bit? And just sort of having silence. I think that's been really helpful for me to kind of get out of the chaos of the day.
Mm-hmm. I love Psalm 119 is like a great one to go through if you're ever wanting to think about the word of the Lord, but talks about like, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And I think what you're saying, Laura, is by, you know, eliminating like the extra podcast or the extra noise or whatever, it can allow us to let our mind wander to the things of the Lord. Or perhaps like there's a scripture that we read earlier in the day and it comes back to mind and we're thinking about it from different angles, or we're just processing our fear and then thinking about it in light of the gospel. I feel like sometimes I can't think about something intentionally while there is a bunch of noise and distraction. Oh, yeah. So it's when I go on the walk or I drive to the errand and I don't turn on something in the car and I'm not talking that my brain can actually think, well, how would I apply the gospel to that or whatever it is? And I can start to believe truth. But I think sometimes we need that silence and that space for that to happen.
Yeah, it's sort of like someone asking you, what's the tune to that song? Well, you're listening to another song and you're like, legit, I'll never think of it until you turn that music off. Okay, another one. And this is a kind of, I want to say like a favorite game at our house, which it means I have a lot of fears. But what my husband and I will do, and it was so helpful when he walked me through this one day, was that he would say, okay, well, what if your very worst fears happen? Like what would happen to us? Where would we go? What will we do? And so it's imagining the situation that you're afraid of, but also remembering that God's grace is a very real reality and that you can use your sanctified imagination to really consider, okay, if we go all the way down the end of the road, like what is going to happen? And I know I've shared this on a show before, but that has been a helpful thing for me. I think sometimes it can be unhelpful. Like I think for certain personalities, perhaps this will send you into a tailspin.
You need to stop saying suppose.
Yeah. Let's play the game of suppose. Suppose this happens. And suppose that happens. And suppose this happened. Yeah. And I see this what if as like a very linear train of thought, sort of like, what if they fall off the swing? Okay, they break their leg. Okay, what if they break their leg? Okay, we go to the hospital. Okay, what if they go to the hospital? Okay, we get medical care because we live in the United States. Okay, what if we get medical care? Okay, we have to pay the insurance. But like, you're kind of just like thinking through, in some ways, a game plan, and where it always ends up, so usually like, somebody dies and then like they're in
heaven. We shouldn't be laughing, but I know. It sounded funny the way you said it.
Well, some levity in fear is helpful too. Laughter is good at times to kind of pull you out of that and remember like, okay, I'm talking crazy. I mean, there are very real fears that we need to deal with, and we'll talk about that. But I think sometimes it's good to just remember like how unlikely some of these fears are, or like just kind of like, okay, we're going to get through it.
And to remember like, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the point of the Christian walk is that we go by faith and not by sight. So like maybe we can't see what's going to happen, but we know that we have a faithful God on the other side of it. And so what we can actually imagine, you know, as we're thinking about, well, what if this happened? What if that happened? We can imagine like God being faithful and meeting us there. And of course, we don't know what he's going to do or what that would look like exactly. It's probably way different than what we would come up with. But we can know, okay, there is comfort because I know that he would give me grace there if that happened. Yeah. So that can kind of be a helpful mental exercise.
Yeah, if you really believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against heaven and God's going to be faithful no matter what, then you can remind yourself that you have nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some inputs and outputs.
Yeah, I find this to be one of the most helpful things, honestly, and so often underutilized. I think for inputs, I mean, we all know what this means, but it is so much harder in practice because we like know what's good for us. We know we should eat the fruit, but we just are like, I want the cookie. And so thinking about social media, like, hey, do you need to delete the app for a while? I know, Emily, you've been taking some more breaks from it. I think we're seeing that more and more people are recognizing some of the adverse effects of social media and realizing that sometimes there are people on there that we either need to unfollow or we need to maybe get off the app entirely. But just be aware of who you are following. And I know for me, sometimes I thought, well, if I unfollow, then I won't know what's going on.
I won't know how the world is crumbling.
Yeah. That's been my fear. And it's like, no, I can find a different news source. Actually, there are nonpartisan news sources out there mm-hmm. if you would like to get them.
Yeah, that's another input. That's another input that we need to talk about is what does your news intake look yeah. like? What are the sources? And I think that it's important, like for any of us, this is just kind of news reading or content reading 101, is that if you're getting a ton of input from only one side or only one perspective, it's good from time to time to look at different news sources or like go fact check and not just on websites that agree. Yeah,
like read the actual statement from the governor or from whomever.
Right. Go to the primary the source.
Yeah, all these, all the time we're like, well, this person said this. Well, Twitter said that. It's like, nope.
What
Twitter
actually
is
say?
A dumpster fire, please. Get off.
So it's a good thing for your input. Or maybe you need to decrease the amount of news that you're reading. Or maybe you need to only read it one time per day or one time per week. Or have somebody that you really trust, like your husband or your best friend, who can let you know if anything happened, that's but you need to take a break.
Kind of what I do. My husband is like, hey, on need-to-know basis. That's what he gives me the news that I need at some level. Like, I had to protect myself, especially coming off of the political season and all of the all of the news that we've had here in the U.S. Another one is the entertainment. I think this one can be kind of sneaky.
This is a sneaky one because we don't always think that the movie we're watching that's about something fictional that never happened can actually be playing into our real life fears.
I remember the day that I had to just draw the line with my husband and I was like, I shall not watch any of these shows. And I'm like, I watch PG only, basically. You know, I'm like, anything that has like any criminal activity, I just cannot do. And I wanted so badly to watch those movies with him and to be like able to stomach some of those. Like, they're not even bad. Like, you know, they're just action packed movies. And I'm like, you know what? Like, this just is not good for my own personal mental health. And I think it's been really helpful for me to draw that line, even though at some level it's been kind of hard because he would like to watch those movies. But I really think it's been super good for me and to not, it's sort of like it's putting new images in your mind that like I couldn't even conjure up on my own.
Yeah. You're like, well, now I didn't have a whole bunch of new things to be scared of.
There's a whole bunch of ways my kids could be taken.
I know.
Like that's what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that same with reading books. And I just think it can be kind of sneaky. Okay. Another one is relationships. So, I mean, these can be things in person, text message chains that you're on, you know, friends and family talking and on the Zoom call or on the event or in the church lobby. Like, are these conversations fostering like an assurance of God's comfort and his sovereignty? Or is this kind of a big fear spiral that happens? Yeah. And by the time you leave, your heart is palpitating. Like, I can think of times when I leave a situation and I was around people who were Christians, but then I feel terrified when I leave because for whatever reason, the conversation
just went crazy.
And it's the tone of the conversation and it's the topics and it's the emphasis.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because there's nothing wrong with like mentioning with your friends, hey, I'm afraid of this. Are you afraid of this? Right. We've affirmed that.
Yep.
But it's when that becomes the whole focus. Yeah. And then there's building blocks of like, yeah, but have you thought of this? But what about this angle? And you and I did do this one time with prepping. Do you remember?
Totally. Emily and I got a little bit into like end of days prepping, like a tiny bit.
Like as in we bought like a little bit of extra peanut butter.
Emily's
like
got like gasoline
storage.
In her garage.
Yeah, I did. I actually did prepping that we should have done already.
This is embarrassing that we're telling everyone.
I have batteries now.
I thought we swore secrecy to this, Emily. I have a hand crank radio. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. But going on this, Emily, I think this is really, really important, not only for input, but also for output. This idea that I think when we start to listen to a group of people or ourselves who are grumbling and complaining, that usually comes from a source of fear. So you kind of can think about the Israelites, like they were grumbling around all the time. They thought they were totally going to die from starvation. So they complained and they grumbled. And I think that a lot of times we can look underneath that grumbling and realize that like, actually there's something good and right in what we're grumbling about. Like, perhaps it's that, you know, we want to see public policies model biblical values, or maybe we want all people to be treated fairly and equally as image bearers of God. So those are both super biblical values, and those longings that are kind of underneath the grumbling are right and good. And I think that that's been helpful for me to like dig underneath and say, okay, even when I'm engaging in conversations with other people to see like, okay, what's their actual longing? And to realize that that's not really a bad thing, but the way it's playing out is actually really unhelpful. It's not going to get us anywhere. And they're really afraid that that's going to be taken away. They're afraid that people aren't going to be treated fairly, or they're afraid that, you know, our society is really moving away from biblical values. But I think that it's important to kind of look underneath and see what's sitting there.
Right. So that output, I think, is, you know, evaluating what we're sharing and kind of what are we giving off? We don't want to be the person who is constantly stirring up division and making other people feel afraid. And I think this extends to what we're sharing on social media as well. I heard somebody give a really good warning about just kind of the disproportionate nature of how we share posts. And like, so let's say like in our day and age with the pandemic, we're not seeing people in real life a lot. We're not having good quality conversations about other things, about the weather and about how their kids are doing and whatever. And if all they see is like you're reposting 100 billion things a day of things that are terrifying and scary, well, people's perception of you, whether you mean for it to be or not, is that like you're stirring up fear in others' hearts without maybe balancing that with truth or with other things that are going on or with the comfort of the Lord. And so I think it's just good to be self-aware. And this is, again, this is us looking at ourselves only of like, how should a Christian be responding right now? And how can I encourage one another? And how can I encourage others in the Lord versus just kind of scare them?
All right. Our last one has been really helpful for me. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier when we talked about prepping, but in all seriousness, taking practical steps can be actually really helpful because sometimes fear just serves as like a good warning. I mean, call it like mama intuition. At times there are things that we should be doing that will help us just ease our fears if we do a couple of practical steps.
Right. I think one thing is we can ask ourselves like, hey, is this statistically likely or unlikely to happen to me? So statistics are not everything. Obviously the Lord is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But I think we can ask ourselves like, if this is something that's statistically unlikely, then why am I so concerned with this? Is there something deeper going on? Who or what am I hoping in or trusting in? Are my responses and actions proportionate to the threat? And then again, it's pulling back and asking those deeper heart questions and taking that to the Lord. Or if it is something that's likely to happen, okay, legitimate fear, is this something that God has given me a warning about and I should take some healthy precautions for? Of course, we do those things in faith, but once we've taken those precautions, is there something like why am I still not trusting the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's things, practical things like locking your car, locking your house, teaching your kids not to play by the road. So training them in certain things, what to do around strangers. Should you carry mace on a run if you live in a more dangerous area, or getting some books that will help you prompt discussions about protecting from pornography, or the having kind of the sex talk early, having internet protections or boundaries on tech devices. I mean, even things like wearing your seatbelt, those are just like small practical things. But even, let's see, having a savings account, if it's possible for you and your family to do that, to keep an extra container of fuel in the garage, Emily.
Yeah, that's wise. It's wise.
It's wise. So these things obviously don't substitute for the peace that guards our hearts through Christ, but they might be able to help you sleep at night.
One thing that we kind of just want to close with is this reality that we're going to continue to face fears. This is not like, hey, just because I did a few practical things, I'm never going to struggle with anxiety or worry or fear ever again. But we are supposed to bring those fears under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to bring them to God. It's just like a thing that we're told to do over and over and over again in Scripture. And He will help us. He will comfort us. It doesn't mean that our feelings are automatically going to go away, but He can give us wisdom. And again, we can walk in faith in the midst of not seeing the outcome or not being sure what's going to happen or not even being sure that we're going to have enough courage. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I can even fear is like, when the scary thing happens, I'm not going to be able to respond. And now I'm fearing how I'm going to respond to fear. And like, when we take those things to the Lord, we can trust, like, I have the Holy Spirit. I have that security in me. And I trust that God is going to be with me no matter what.
Yeah. It often comes down to me of like, what will I trust the most? What will be king of my heart? And I think there's a lot of truths in lives that we're facing that can bring a lot of fear into our lives. The truth that a dad has cancer, or children have been exposed to pornography, or a husband lost his job, or sister got COVID. But the question becomes, which truth will triumph in your heart? Is it the truth that God is sovereign and in control and has your best? Or is it that all of these things are going to just devastate you and destroy you? And so we can ask ourselves, hey, do you really believe that all the days ordained for you were written in your book before one of them came to be? Or do you believe that God is always with you? Do you believe that the boundary lines have fallen for you in pleasant places and that you have a beautiful inheritance? So these are all things straight from scripture that God tells us are true. And so as you face these fears and you do all these practical things, like Emily said, I think we have to go back and continue to ask, which truth will triumph in your heart?
Oh, that's so good. And I feel like that just wraps up so well this whole mini series we've been doing on fear and what do we do with it and how do we respond to it? And, you know, just how do we respond with courage is just to think about which truth is going to triumph. So we hope that you guys have joined us for this whole series. If you've missed any episode, definitely go back and listen. We also hope that you've been checking out our show notes where we have lots of other links and more information. We hope you've been following us on social media. And if you haven't yet, definitely come check us out at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where we are continuing to share resources and quotes and Bible verses and all kinds of things that are encouraging us in this. So thank you guys. And yeah, that's a wrap. Thanks guys.
Hi, my name is Martha and I donate to Risen Motherhood because I want other moms to also be encouraged, challenged, and strengthened in their faith as they're in the trenches of parenting. Risen Motherhood has been a huge blessing to me as I've navigated mom life, not pointing me to lists of rules or tips, but rather always back to Christ. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by people just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry of Risen Motherhood, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give. And don't forget, if you'd like to pick up a copy of the Risen Motherhood book, you can grab one anywhere books are sold or head to risenmotherhood.com/book.